We have a beagle, Molly. I use her as an illustration quite a lot. Originally, the first beagle we had, my family, was Buster. Does anybody remember Buster? A few of you? Yeah? Buster spent hours and hours and hours with me, days, months, because it was when I was going through chemotherapy and radiation. So I'd be sitting on the chair, and there's Buster, and Buster would always be beside me. You get bored after a while, being at home a lot. So you train your dog, Beagle, to do different things. Now, I've heard, Tom Brantley actually said at one point, beagles were the stupidest dogs. I think they're the smartest because they won't do anything unless you give them something good enough. So they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I want that. Yeah, I can figure that out. So Buster, I taught Buster all sorts of tricks. Eventually, I got to the point where I thought it was kind of funny. I would have Buster dance and then repent. But to get to that point, I first had to train Buster to get on his back legs, and then I had to train Buster to spin, and then I had to train Buster to lean forward and repent on his face. So that took a while, and there was a lot of parts, and honestly, he didn't have it perfect, but it was pretty good. Molly's a little different. Molly's smarter than Buster, I think, in some ways. Molly, we now have to the point where she can spin and dance. But Molly, we got her, you know, standing on the back legs, and then we got her to spin. But we trained her with spaghetti noodles to spin, and now she thinks she really likes spaghetti noodles. I don't know why. It's just her thing. But now, unless it's at least as good as a spaghetti noodle, she'll cock her head to the side, look at you, and go, I don't know what you're asking. Why? Because she doesn't want to do it. There's different steps in that process. If you skip a step, and there's some things we've done with Molly where we skipped a few steps in the training, she doesn't get it. She's totally lost, and then she does all her tricks all at once till she like jumps and high fives and tries everything. You're like, no, I asked you to do this. She has no clue. And you just give her the treat anyway because she's so cute. Maybe that's why we're bad dog owners. But I'm bringing this to you, hopefully, something biblical. We're in Romans 14. And there's weaker and stronger. And as Christians, we're all weak in some areas. We're all strong in some areas. And there's always preferential things. And there's things in our lives that, as we go along, we grow. And there's points, though, if someone stronger could cause us to stumble by asking us to do something that our conscience won't allow us to, and to have us cause us to fall into sin. And we're going to talk about that. Not causing your brother to stumble. Because just like that little dog, we're at a certain point in our training. And Christ is sanctifying us. He's bringing us along. And he's teaching us. And our minds are being renewed. And we're growing in Christ. And we're all at different points united in wanting to honor him in everything we do. And so Romans 14 is where we're at. We talked a little bit last week. If you'll turn there. Last week, I think I said I would try to finish Romans 14. I think we made it to point one. So we are going to finish Romans 14 because we need to get back to Philippians. let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for the the sanctifying work you're doing in our lives and drawing us closer to you. Help us to have minds that are focused upon you, and that we will be renewed and we will be in your word, learning more about you. And help us in our lives to make sure we put you first in every decision we make. In your name, amen. 14 verse 1, we read the whole passage. I hope that this week you read it a few times at least once. And there's a lot of things in this passage. We can't get to all of them. But it says, chapter 14 verse 1, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. And there's a lot of words used in that opinions. It's scruples, some people say. The idea is preferences. Things that are not sin. They're things that are preferential in the Christian walk. For this group, it was what you should eat. And what day you should worship on or honor. For our group, what we talk about, what we talked about things like movies and music, maybe hair, wearing pants. There's all different things that people have that's preferential. It was interesting because I was listening to one sermon on this. The pastor spent half the time discussing the passage and then the other half of the time saying why his preference was the biblical thing to do, which I found kind of hubris. But that's because when it's a preference, when it's something you think you should be doing, guess what? You're convinced in your own mind. You should be convinced in your own mind that this is right. And that's what you think you should do. And that's the way it felt. But it's hard to get outside that. It was interesting that I asked Bianca, I said, after the service, I said, were you bothered by anything last week that I did when I sat down and the Kindle? And you said, well, what about using a Kindle? And what about sitting down and preaching? I said, no, except for when you talked about moving the communion table. That bothered her. I said, no, you can't do that. Why? Bianca came from a Catholic background. For her, she went to a Catholic school. You got to say 12, right? Catholic school all the way up. And so for her, that has a lot of significance. Because that, there's a thing with it. There's background with that. And it's true because that's meaningful. If you put, this is the altar, and if you put it someplace else, for her it represents a lot of different things that are not good regarding the communion, what communion actually is. So, we don't see it ourselves a lot of times until it hits something we care about. And then, when it hits that thing, when we look at someone else and they have a different opinion, it often leads to a fight. So, Paul is saying here, these are not sin issues. He's not talking about sin issues. Okay, we're going to deal with sin issues next week. These are preferential issues. There's issues that could lead to sin because you can stumble and they can lead you to sin. But these are preferences, not sin in and of themselves. There's not, if I take a bunch of pictures and string them together in a row and show them on a screen, there's nothing inherently within that picture that makes it evil, that paper, right? There's nothing within a drink itself that makes it evil. We shouldn't burn all the grape fields, all the vineyards down. But, so what do you do? In this passage, we have the strong who don't have an issue with the eating. They don't care about the dietary laws. They believe they have freedom in Christ. And if it's talking about the meat sacrifice to idols in 1 Corinthians, they're like, that's meaningless. It doesn't bother them to eat that because they know the idol's nothing. And we don't know if this, what's talking about in Romans 14, is meat sacrificed to idols or Jewish dietary laws. The passage isn't clear. But either way, they know they have freedom in Christ, and eating those things isn't going to cause them to stumble. And the weaker brother in here has a problem with that because they don't think it's right to do, and their conscience is bothered by it. And they shouldn't be doing that. So we have the strong and the weak. We all have different areas. You got to get this. All of us, like that pastor I was listening to, he thought he was right. He thought when he was explaining things, he thought he was in the middle. He said, well, you can't take this position. You can't take that position. You take our position, which is in the middle. Everybody's in the middle. Anybody you talk to says, well, I have the most middle position, the compromise between the two. It doesn't matter who they are. But they're strong and weak. We all have different areas where we're weak. We all have different areas where we're stronger. If you take a lemon cream pie and put it in front of me, I'd go, I'll eat it or not eat it. It doesn't matter. You put it in front of Bianca, Bianca's going to eat it. Why? She loves lemon cream pie. Now, if you take an ice cream sundae and put it in front of me, what will I do? I'll eat it because I am very weak. We're weak and strong in different areas. Romans 14, verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Our tendency as Christians is to despise the person who's weak. It's to look and say, you can't handle the chocolate sundae. I'm so much better than you. And our tendency as the weaker is to say, well, I can't go near the chocolate sundae because I am so spiritual. Chapter 14, verse 3. Don't despise. Don't pass judgment. God has welcomed us. Welcomed, the idea, accepted, received. This is used three times in this section. This is the same word. And three times you think, probably important, right? Verse 1, verse 3, and chapter 15, verse 7. It's all the same section, the same theme, same topic. He says, God has welcomed him. In verse 1, welcome them, accept them. Romans 15, verse 7, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. We must accept one another with all our weaknesses, with all our strengths. We all have different opinions. This is not sin issues. I want you to get that. We'll get to sin issues next week and how to deal with sin issues with each other. But we all have different opinions, different preferences. We must accept each other. Why? Because God has accepted us. We're his children. And we are all on the same page. As children of God, what are we doing with our lives? We're living for him. Go to verse 6. And I know we're going quickly through this passage. But go to verse 6 of chapter 14. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Whatever they're doing for the purpose of honoring God. That's the way we as Christians should be making decisions about everything. Preferences? How do you make a decision about the preference? What am I fully convinced by my knowledge of what I know about Scripture, who God is, that this is what God wants me to do to honor him? Whether you're weak or strong, that's your goal, to honor him. And God is going to continue to work in you, and you'll continue to grow in him and understand more about him and be able to make as time goes on, wiser choices. But our goal is to honor Christ. And when we come down to it, when we come down to the idea of unity, our unity is based on Christ. Because we together are what? We're serving Him. We're Christians. I like the idea of unequally yoked in marriage. I like to use this illustration because I think it hits home. You shouldn't marry someone who's not a Christian. The Bible says you shouldn't be unequally yoked. Because how can you pull together? How can you be together? How can you go through life? I've asked the kids this before. How can you go through life with someone who has a completely different goal in their life? As a Christian, what is your goal? Honor Christ. Live for Him. As a non-Christian, is that your goal? It can't be. Different. Your pursuit is to honor Christ. We as a church body, what is our pursuit? To honor Christ. And so when we're dealing with preferential issues, we both are not sitting there judging each other because we're both at different points in our Christian walk, and all of us are trying together to honor Christ and learn more about Him and grow in our spiritual walk. So, what happens when your goals are different? Bianca and I'll use this illustration. Bianca, our first date, we played Scrabble, went to two bookstores, and it was kind of funny, the different things we did. But she won Scrabble. I purposely didn't play Zoo, the Z. So she denies that. Anyway. When she played Scrabble with her grandpa, they played for fun. They wanted to make really big words, and they talked, and they looked up things, you know, sometimes. What word is that? And if you know Bianca, her vocabulary is huge. Her grandpa is just super smart, too. And they're playing and trying to find these neat words and trying to make these giant. They're having fun when they play together. I'm Valentine. When we play games, and I'm nothing, my dad's brothers and sisters, it's kind of scary. But when you play games, how do you play? To win. You play to win. So when we played Scrabble together, when we were going on dates, when we first got married, I looked over, and like I'm challenging her. I'm destroying triple word scores with tiny two-letter words because she may use them. I'm just doing horrible things. I look, and she's tearing up. She's like, why are you doing, why are you being mean? Like, well, that's how you play. Our goals were different. And it led to a quarrel. A conflict. In church, if everybody's goal is not to honor the Lord in everything they're doing, what does it lead to? It's conflict. At the core here, Paul has been through the first whole 13 chapters of Romans, setting the foundation of first, theologically, who we are in Christ and what He has done, gets to chapter 12, and then starts the practical of the renewing of mind and the growth in the Christian walk, and he gets to this passage. At that point, you should know you are saved by Christ, and your goal is to live for Him. So as Christians, our goal is to live for Him, honor Him. Quick side note. In making a preferential decision, if your goal is to get away with something, you're probably in sin. That's a problem. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." Your freedom in Christ is not for the sake of being able to get away with something. If someone comes up to you, I've had kids come up to me, say, "Hey, can I watch this? Can I watch that?" And don't we have freedom in Christ? Adults, don't I have freedom in Christ? I've had adults say that. Can't I do this? Like, why are you doing it? I know, for me, I can't watch that. I can't do that. Because I don't want my mind dwelling on that. I don't want to be tempted in that area. Do we have freedom in Christ? Yes. What is your goal? To honor him in everything you do. Just make sure, and this is side, there's so much here, but make sure your focus is honoring him. Going back to Philippians, because we're going to get there soon. Philippians 1, verse 9, 10, 11. "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." Discernment. Being able to make wise choices so that you may approve what is excellent. The best choice. Make the best choice. That's the idea of excellent there, the word. As we grow in Christ, we can make more excellent choices. The best decision to honor God with our lives. Do we want our minds renewed? Examine yourselves. Don't pass judgment on others. You do not need to judge others' motivation. Not on sin issues. Sin issues is different. I'm just going to say that again. Sin issues is very different. Sin issues you need to confront so people don't continue to get stuck in sin. Romans 14, verse 10. "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." We will all answer to God. We all stand before him one day, and he will hand out rewards. He will say, "This is what were you doing?" And this is not a condemnation, but I don't want to be standing there saying, "You know, I did whatever I wanted to do." I don't want to stand before God and say that. We press on towards the goal. We press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have freedom in our relationship with Christ. But, you need to get this, I restrict my freedom because my relationship with others is governed by love. I love my fellow Christians. So I pursue, in that love, I pursue edification. Romans 14, verse 19. "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.'" 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." Christ did not please himself. He did for others. When we make a decision that's a preferential area, is it for the sake of building someone else up? in Christ, to help them in their walk, to help them grow, to encourage them. It's interesting, I've talked to people who went to Word of Life. Word of Life is an amazing program. They're very structured. Good way to put it. They make you get up and do devotions and read certain things and structure your day if you go there. I've had people who claim to be spiritually mature, who went to Word of Life, who came to me and said, oh, I didn't need that, and they sat and they complained, and they talked about how bad it was because they had to sit there and they had to do those devotions that were set up. Why couldn't they do devotions on their own? And they went on and on and on. Is it a preferential issue that you have to do a set devotion? Yeah. You don't have to do a set devotion. A lot of the things they required of the kids were preferential things. What would have shown me that the kid who was complaining was spiritually mature was if they did those things, did them with a good attitude, and encouraged the people who they were with to do them with a good attitude. That would have been spiritual maturity. Bianca's grandparents' church, it's FSBC? FSBC. First Fundamental Baptist Bible? From Bible Church. It's in L.A. It has a lot of former gang members and different people who come from very hard backgrounds. They use Word of Life. The kids going through that program need that structure. It helps them because they're weak. Helps them huge. What do we do as spiritually mature? Do we sit and we complain? Do we say, I'm so much better than you because I don't need this? Or do we seek to edify the person next to us? How do we respond? I realized a long time ago, whenever I raised my hand in class, I asked myself a question. Maybe it was, I don't know, if I started teaching or something, but why am I asking that question? Am I asking it to make myself look good in this classroom? I got convicted, and I realized when I raised my hand to ask a question in a classroom, why should I be doing it? Because I want to edify the class. I want to learn something and help the class learn something. And when a person asks a question to just make themselves look strong, like they know it all, there's no strength there. Seek edification. Ask yourself, how can you make decisions that will build up the body of Christ, build up each other? Don't cause others to stumble. Romans 14, verse 20, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Verse 13, if you go back up, therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord that nothing is unclean in and of itself, but is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. This is not this verse right here where it says nothing is unclean in and of itself is not talking about sin issues. I'm going to say that again. It's talking about things like food. There's not a good and bad. It's just food. Paul's not saying everything is good. Everything you can do, any sin you want. I've heard this verse quoted wrong, incorrectly many times. That's not the point. He's talking here about just things, preferential areas. It's not unclean in and of itself. A piece of meat is not sinful. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you no longer are walking in love by what you eat. Do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Do not let your decisions in preferential areas cause others to stumble. Probably the most clear thing here, which probably a lot of you can get, your kids. Are there a lot of preferences you have? Yeah, a lot of areas. There's a lot of choices you can make. I know my parents made a lot of choices to not do certain things because they knew we as kids were weak. And they did not want to cause us to stumble. You need to be very, very careful in exercising your freedom in Christ not to cause others to stumble. Fall into sin. That's the idea here. Fail. And it's not the idea of, oh, that bothers me. It's the idea of causing them to come into sin, causing them to stumble, fall over. As leadership, it's even something we need to be aware of. Watch what you do in front of your kids. Because they're weaker. I think maybe just the whole thing comes down to Philippians 2. The idea of we need to care more about others than we care about ourselves. Because we love each other. Pursue edification. Don't cause others to stumble. Help each other out. Preferences. People fight about preferences all the time. We should have the same goals, wanting to honor Christ and not be fighting over preferences. That's we as a church at large. This church, we're doing good. Don't fight over preferences. I will end there. That was the fastest going through Romans 14 you've ever seen. We will next week go through dealing with sin. How do you deal with sin in the body of Christ? And then we're going to get back to Philippians. And when Philippians 4, and I encourage you, please read that. Read Philippians 4. You have a few weeks here. Start reading through. Because it's some really fun things when we get there. So let's pray and we'll close up. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you that you came to earth, died on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the salvation you brought to us. Help us to, as a body of Christ, to honor you in everything we do and seek with others to love each other and care about each other and edify each other. Help us not to put stumbling blocks in front of people. Help us in every decision we make that we would love you and love others. Bless us this week. In your name, amen.